Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 10th of May, recording at 4:58 p.m. British Standard Time. I wanted to get the audio out more quickly here today because I just suspect there'll be a lot of interest. So while I could have put up more items on the website and written more, I thought, well, let's complete that, and I'll do more tomorrow. But meantime, let's cover what's going on here in stock markets. Now, you know, I've been looking for a sell-off in here, and have been emphasizing in recent weeks that of the three things markets could do, stock markets could do, or any market could do, up, sideways, or down, that the chances of a significant move on the upside, which a lot of people were calling for and hoping for, were very, very low relative to sideways and possibly a quite sharp sell-off, which we seem to be getting. Now, the type of technical action that we're seeing with stock markets is very frightening because we're getting big downward dynamics. The moment you say that, people say, well, is it accelerating? Is it getting oversold? Well, it depends what indicators you look at. On the shortest of short-term indicators, we are getting oversold, but I don't think that that could support more than a dead cat bounce at best. In other words, it's certainly not a buying signal in my view, nor is the sharper rate of descent that we've seen in the last couple of days. Remember, markets have been churning for a number of months. They dropped down quite sharply in March, breaking a number of upward trends, but then recovered with some indices pushing just marginally into new high ground. That was the sucker rally, and then are now coming off. And a number of indices are beginning to break beneath the March lows, and that's starting to take out the 200-day moving averages that a number of technicians will be looking at. And so I think we can pretty well gauge that sentiment will deteriorate. And I would be prepared, well, I would expect to be surprised. For instance, you know, I've been bearish in here, but I was shocked today to see the Japanese Nikkei stock average fall by 554 points. Again, look back, I haven't put that chart up here today, but last month we'd seen a key day reversal on the upside. And the market recovered a little bit and just pushed back up and to the high, and then has come off very sharply, as we've seen. The Tokyo Second Section Index, which was hammered today, I haven't seen a down. I can't recall when I last saw a downward dynamic like that, and that had also had a key day reversal last month, right at the absolute high. So some of these technical signals really do count of that type, particularly the dynamic signals that alert people to the fact that something's changing. Now, how do we actually play it, and what are we likely to see? Well, I think there is a risk that we will get a further and potentially substantial sell-off in coming weeks, and I would want to be positioned for that potential outcome. Now, as you know, I'm holding a number of my investments, which are in Asia, mainly in Thailand, India, and Japan, although I had reduced exposure overall in equities quite a bit, and for months have been saying it's a good idea to raise cash on the rallies, so on, only buy on the sharp sell-offs. But I would not be buying in here right now. Instead, I've played this very much on the basis of first hedging all the long positions and then going net short overall. And as I've said before, they're not symmetrical shorts. My shorts are all in the US and European stock market indices. Now, my Asian positions are coming down just as fast as everything else in here, but say with those fully hedged and short positions elsewhere, that's I'm reasonably satisfied with that makeup. Now, in terms of the actual specific tactics on the shorts, I increased my S&P short by 50% here earlier today, selling at 1,085.5. That's including the spread bet costs. I have in the money stops now on all my total positions in stock market shorts. So that effectively gives me a free ride on the downside. In other words, as Peter Bennett put it, you took the risk, established the positions, now you can remove the risk. Well, not entirely. The main risk that I would face that if markets are quite volatile rather than weak, and we have seen one heck of a lot of volatility in recent months, then I could easily get stopped out of those in-the-money stops, only to see them head down lower and drag my long positions in the self-administered pension fund with it. But I'm obviously hoping that doesn't happen. But if it does, then I would have to consider, well, I'd be exposed, and would have to I'd take more risk if I wanted to be hedged. Or whatever, but let's worry about that if and when it actually happens. Now, how far could we actually go on the downside? Don't know is a short answer, but what I'm thinking of are some of the squalls, selling squalls that would occur every year or two back in the 1970s, when you tend to get could be 3 months, sometimes a little bit more, quite sharp moves on the downside. And I have conditioned myself to expect more rather than less in here, given the type of technical action that we've been seeing recently. Also, the news is mostly bad. Okay, you've got the corporate profits, the good corporate profits, and the good growth statistics coming out of Asia and the US. But that's, as I've said many times before, that's what last year's rally and the beginning of this year's rally were all about. So that was well and truly discounted. Whereas anything involving Iraq and the Middle East is certainly far more negative than positive. That's introduced the oil worry, and we are the world that is incredibly vulnerable as far as oil is concerned, with attacks on pipelines, and we've already got a refining problem anyway. There's a shortage, in other words, a shortage of refined petroleum products. So we have that problem. We have the inflation genie out of the bottle. We've got the bond market weakness, and really, it's a bit of an eyebrow raiser to see U.S. Treasuries down a couple of ticks as I speak right now. They've been up a little bit and down a little bit on the day, but even a drops of 1.5% across the boards in Wall Street so far and right now have not lifted that U.S. Treasury bond market. So this is a very negative news background, and it's sort of thing I've been talking about, but saying that people were in denial over. So don't ever let anyone tell you that the market's efficient. Nothing like that. People see what they want to see, and what they want to see reflects their portfolio. And also, I could add on background data. You've got the generally high valuations on Wall Street, which some would dispute, but they're. When you talk to the very conservative valuation boys, they're high. Okay, so prefer to play this on the shorts. Not interested in buying at this stage. If we get a big sell-off, then I would be looking for a decent rally before year end. And I think that's not an unreasonable possibility, and I would probably buy for that rally. It would probably be in Asia and in some of the mining shares as well. Meantime, the only safe haven for captive investors, I think, is in very defensive, high-yielding equities. Now, moving on to the government bonds, I'm hoping for a bit of a bounce here, which would enable me to get back into the US Treasury bond market where I've been short. But watch that bond market. If you see yields continue to rise in the US, that will be obviously bearish for all categories of bonds. And distressed debt took a big hit, or high yield debt took a big hit in here today and on Friday. And that would also be extremely bearish for the stock markets as well. Now, I had a look at the VIX indicator today. Some of my most recent subscribers may not know what that is. I'll probably post it in the subscribers area. I'll definitely post it in the subscribers area later this week. But when you have important sell-offs in stock markets, and this may well qualify, it hasn't qualified yet as an important sell-off, but it is defined by big percentage move, but it could easily turn out that way. The VIX indicator is a very reliable indicator of a truly oversold condition that can support a sharp rally. And it tends to get up over 45, up in the 45-50 rating. That is definitely in a buy territory. So it's a good bottom signaling indicator. And I had a look at it today. It was up 2 points to 20. So it's got a long way to go, although it can happen fairly quickly when markets really take fright. Now, moving on, in the currency markets, remember all that talk about the dollar meltdown against the yen? Well, it's trading at 114 as I speak. I have one position, currency position, that's the euro-yen, which is up to just under 135 as I speak, so that's up 1.5 yen. It's the yen that's really quite soft in here today. And as one colleague, Will Chawner, who produces a technical research on Japan for StockCube, was saying that people had been piling in for many, many months into that second section index. That was that TSE2 that I kept talking about. Remember, that was up 33 out of 35 days consecutively at one stage. Well, what he's saying is that with everybody being way overweight there, now they want to get out, and they're going to have trouble doing so because the liquidity isn't there. So we may see that second section in Japan get a little panicky here over the near term. And I think that's affecting the yen, which is really quite weak in here today. I have that euro yen, as I just mentioned. I've moved my stop up today, and I'll be looking to take the profit relatively soon, hopefully not stopped out during a reaction. But if I see this up, let's say 35, I see this up around getting close to the 36 area, that'll be fine. I'll certainly settle for that, and that would be a very nice return for what had been one of the major dogs of the portfolio. Okay, euro dollar, which is important as far as the precious are concerned, it's down half a cent in here today at 118.35, but hasn't broken beneath last month's low, although it wouldn't take much to do that. Interestingly, the metals, having sold off quite sharply on Friday and having sold off quite sharply early today, have bounced back a fair bit, and I think they look a lot less risky than, say, the S&P or the FTSE or the DAX indices or the Tokyo second section. As I speak, the palladium's down 6 at 236. I'm resisting the temptation to put another toe in the water there. Silver's quite interesting. I'm a little annoyed with myself. It spiked down very briefly to 545.5. That's on the July contract where I've been buying. Actually, I've been buying in the September contract, but I'm looking at July here right now. Spiked down to that low level, but it was a now you see it, now you don't, and I didn't see it, and I didn't have an order in the market. But it's actually up as I speak. It's up 2 cents. And this is live feed now. I stumped up and paid the exchange fees, so it's currently trading at 562 up to. Gold's down 3.5, having at 375.20, having been down at 371.65 earlier on. Oil's off a bit in here today on talks that the Saudis might release more oil. There'll certainly be pressure from the White House to get them to do that, but whether that happens or not, well, remains to be seen. I'm still long in the natural gas. I'm going to resist the temptation to add to my my metal positions in this rather hairy environment. Base metals are down today, but not that extensively overall. I do think if I hadn't started buying a little early, say a week and a half ago, I would or and earlier than that on the silver, I would certainly be coming in and nibbling in here at this stage. And what's happening with Wall Street, from the Iraq situation to the interest rate issues and the I'll just stick to the Middle Eastern events and the stock market sell-off, that is not bullish for the US dollar. So I wouldn't extrapolate this US dollar rally too far, especially against something like the euro. Okay, exciting times, and I will do the best I can to come up with investment and trading strategies for this and any other environment that we face. That's the challenge. Have a good evening.